Tonight, I just want to ask you, as we start off, to take your finger and point it at yourself. And I just want you to say this with me tonight. The river lives in me. Now take your finger and point it at somebody that you're nearby and say, the river lives in you. Tonight, I want to talk about the river and what it means to me in my life. I cannot live without the continual flow of the Spirit of God. What a blessing that it is to have that living in our life. I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 7. And I'll go ahead and start reading. And it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Before we go on, let's put our finger back on ourselves tonight and say, the river lives in me. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. I was praying to God about the river, and how that I could be able to bring this out tonight in a way that we can all get a hold of it. There are many people that missed out tonight. They're missing out on such a blessing. They missed out on great worship. They're missing out on many things in life. But even if you'd never make it to 13th Street again, there's still something that lives in you every day. Something that dwells in your life every day. The river that we talk about tonight is the Spirit of God. It is the one thing that will cause you to praise Him in a hard service. Stirs your heart and gets you into the house of God even when everything else around you is busy. It'll cause you to love somebody when you feel like that though they've done wronged you, it'll cause you to love somebody. Hallelujah. The river of the Spirit of God, as it flows in you and as you will allow it to flow, will bless somebody, blesses you, blesses them. When I think about the rivers of God in my life, I think about where it's coming from, where my strength comes from, where my peace comes from. I think about the source of that water. I think about the Spirit of God and how it dwells through how we have access. And as I worship and pray and seek God for that closer walk in Him, there is a Spirit that flows out unto me. It begins to do a work in my life. And I'm no longer without understanding of what I would do. I'm no longer without understanding of what I will say, but I'm led by God through life by His Spirit. And as it is represented to a river, the point of that is that there is nothing that could stand in the way of a flowing river. Hallelujah. There may be obstacles in here tonight that's in front of you. There may be things that are at the present time unmovable, and we may see them as impossible to deal with, but let me remind you about what the Spirit of God does. It is a consuming spirit. It is a loving spirit. And it will begin to take up the things that are trying to destroy you and begin to bring life to you. Though you may not be able to go through the obstacle at the moment, God will make a way for you that when it comes push to shove, that you'll stand in the times when it's hard, that you'll love when it's hard to love, that you'll praise Him when it's hard to praise Him. I'm excited tonight, for that which is in me is flowing and living. It's not something that's done dried up, but God is pouring out each and every day. Every time that I fall down to pray, God is blessing through the river of the Spirit. Every time that I come to church, if I can just get in and worship, that river of life comes and blesses my heart. There are many things I'm in need of in life, but every time I trust God, the blessings outweigh the hindrances. They outweigh the obstacles. There is a river of life that's living in you tonight, and I'm encouraging you to take advantage of that which is living in you. You don't need a preacher to preach you into the joy of the Lord. You don't need a song to remind you about His goodness, but all you have to do is begin to believe, begin to trust in Him. There may be things so hard, but if you trust in God, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. I'm not without tonight. I'm not without. God supplied my every need. Every time that we'll take advantage of His blessings by not praising Him, not giving him glory. You're missing out on the flow that would move the obstacles that stand in your way. Now you can choose to let those things live in your life, and that will slow down the flow of God that you will be able to enjoy. And hallelujah, I've had things just thrown. I've had junk thrown in. I've had tires thrown in my river. I've had stones and boulders thrown inside my river, and I've had everything that the enemy is trying to do to slow down the flow of the Spirit of God in my life. But I'm glad to know that the Spirit of God is also a powerful thing. I'm glad to know that it's something that will literally move out of the way what is hindering you from being able to feel God. We've got it all backwards tonight. It's so easy to feel His presence just by simply unlocking through belief, having hope, trusting Him. The world would have you to cast away the value of the Spirit of God. There are churches trying to have church without knowing the experience of the Spirit of God. There are places even today going through the motions of church, but not living with a fullness of joy. And I'm reaching out tonight, and I'm reminding you that there's something that lives in you that's going to save you today. It's going to save your children. It's going to keep them when they get out in the world and don't know the direction they should take. The Spirit is our teacher. It is that which shows us the way. It's that which will move us to do the right thing. And without that leading us, we tend to fall into mistakes that God never intended for us to be in. But today I'm refined. As a stone would be when you throw it in a river, I'm refined. I am renewed. I look back on my mistakes as they were, and I know that I've been refined to be better. I'm a smoother man. You might be able to try to carve in my stone and hinder me, but God refines me every day. The renewing of my mind, I'm so fresh in my mind tonight. Nobody can take that from me. Hallelujah. Nobody can steal the joy of the Lord that lives in you. I'm just going to preach it tonight like we got a revival going on already. You need to know tonight there's something that lives in you that nobody can take from you. Nobody can stop the flow of the Spirit of God. You might lose your money. You might lose your health, but they cannot take the Spirit that lives in you. They might take your car. You might be without for a season, but God will always provide for His children and will make a way when you may be in lack. Tonight I praise Him, and I'm excited. Why? Not because of the number that showed up tonight, not because of that which would try to hinder me, but the renewing of the rivers of the Spirit of God. John chapter 4, Jesus, being weary in His journey, was passing through at the time, as it says, He left Judea and departed into Galilee. And all of the times that Jesus was on His journeys, He did it on foot. Goodness, we can't walk out to check the mail before we complain. And Jesus was doing all this on foot. Sometimes we take advantage of the fact that we can get from point A to point B just by having vehicles in the way and the means. We just take advantage of that. But He was doing His ministry on foot. And as He passed by, the way, you can imagine walking in those areas in those temperatures of how that would leave you weary. So, of course, His body was a little bit famished. So He decided to stop by the well of Jacob. So He was weary from the way. And, of course, you're not only thirsty, but you're hungry too. So the disciples are off trying to gather food. And there's a woman that comes by at the well at this time. And He decided that He wanted to expose to her a mystery, a very profound mystery, a mystery that if each of us would begin to get a hold of that, we would never feel like that we were low. We'd never feel like that we were weak. We'd never feel like that we were without the ability to praise Him. I don't know how else to say it, but it has come down to just a flat-out shame that the children of God, who have more than enough of the provision of the Spirit, have found a way and an excuse to hold it back from the One who gave it to you. Hallelujah. If He gave you peace in the midnight hour sometime, the church needs to know about what? That which flows out of you. That which lives in you. Strangers and friends and loved ones need to see the river of life in you. They need to see joy in your countenance. It's amazing what kind of a difference it makes when you have somebody come into a room confident, believing in what they're doing. Hallelujah. If God showed you how to dig a hole, And you knew that with all your heart, how that you were supposed to dig that. There's nobody else that could dig it any better than the way that God showed you. So when it comes time and everybody's like, what? We don't know how to dig the hole. But God has given you the confidence to move in what He's called you. Then get in there and dig the hole with confidence. He may have given you the ability just to be the one standing in the aisle after service to make sure that all is well with people as they go. And other people may feel uncomfortable in that area. But if God has given you a river of living water to be obedient, it's time to get in and ask, is all well with you? It's time that we do what we know that God has called us to do. It's time that we just grab a hold and know. You might as well acknowledge that you love to praise the Lord. You might as well acknowledge that you're not going to look the prettiest when it's said and done. We might as well realize that people are not going to like your outward expression of worship sometimes because they want to be reserved and have not learned the fullness of worship. But let me remind you tonight that as you begin to serve Him and begin to obey Him, you're causing the rivers of somebody else to begin to flow. You cause the obstacles in other people's lives to begin to move. And I hope that by the words I'm preaching, that boulders and stones and tires are being moved out of your river, that you'll begin to let the Spirit of God flow. There's a day coming when you're going to need this more than you would know. There's a day coming when the rivers of life is the only thing that you're going to get. Money won't make the way. Oh, people won't make the way. But God will do it. Woo! God will do it. He'll give you the means. He'll give you the understanding. He'll give you the love for them that you never thought you'd have. You're not going to have it. It's not going to be in savings. It's not going to be, oh, I remembered I put that up a long time ago. It won't be enough. You may have put up a good amount of money, but there's nothing that could stand for a trial other than what God will do for you. This woman came into this well and he asked her if he could have a drink. He was opening up conversation. Icebreaker. I need something to drink. And before he got to this mystery, he was trying to engage the person. You can't even begin to express how good God is until you engage people with the confidence. He was prepared. He was weary. Been walking on foot and went into a land that he knew where Samaritans and Jews were of great angst with one another. But don't you know that even when you're weary, you still have something for somebody? It's not going to be in what you can give them financially. Although we will help from time to time as God will show us, it's not going to be in just inviting somebody to church in hopes they get it there. But God is going to use you in your weariness. I'm opening this up for you tonight. He wants to use you in your time of weariness. The glory of God that shines through the weary says it like this in the Bible. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, it says, when I'm tired and I trust God, I'm blessed when I'm broke, but I know He is my riches. I am blessed when I'm heartbroken. He is the love that mends my life. Oh, church, blessed are those that recognize their weakness and trust God with it. We're not blessed if we complain. We're not blessed if we look at one another and blame one another for what's going on. A marriage could be easily destroyed if we misplace our frustration. Your family could look on you and not see the witness of God if all that you offer is complaint. But you begin to shine as blessed when you show them that you're trusting in Him. You begin to allow the rivers of the Spirit to comfort you. Let's read this. It says, the bottom of verse 7, give me to drink. And then at verse 8 says that the disciples were away. And her response after that was, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You have the knowledge of God. You know Him. You walk with Him. You felt His Spirit, the comfort of the Spirit. And there may be people that think, well, you wouldn't have anything to do with me. You wouldn't give me the time of day. There is definitely that misconception out in the world that Christians are too good to witness to anybody. That they're their own fold, their own people, and have nothing to do with the poor and the barren. And that is not what Christ did. If the ministry of Jesus was graded based on the amount of works that He did for religion, He would have failed. Do you understand where I'm coming from? If it was all about what he had on, if it was all about what he gave back, if it was all about just being religious in the form of works, Christ would have failed. But his ministry was with the poor. His ministry was with the barren. And he did not allow anything to hold him back from being in a place where there were differences among people, that he could not love them, that he could not minister to them. And as we live today, I love being in service with you. I really do. I love it. I cherish being able to get in the presence of God. But when we recognize that there is a need that is not like to which that we normally deal with, we don't need to be afraid to approach a need. We don't need to be uncomfortable in approaching the need, because if we're afraid and uncomfortable, then we're not letting the rivers of life spring up out of us. When you are in the fullness of the love of God, you do anything for anybody. That anointing falls upon you, your body feels so good, there's no person you couldn't pick up and carry. I'm willing, I'm stepping out, and I'm encouraging you and reminding you that there is strength for you through the Spirit of God. Not just by worship, not just by hearing the preached word, but by believing that it lives in you right now. Do you believe that? I do. I wouldn't be able to go on without it. It's my everything. It's that which keeps me. It's that which keeps me preaching on week after week and still confident to believe that it's going to be and that it is and that it shall come. And it reads on, thou hast nothing to draw with. Or let's go back to 10. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him and he would have given thee living water. Sometimes if we just would know and recognize who it is that we really serve, and as you read through the times of victory, if we really realized it tonight, I'm going to break it out of the box a little bit. If we really realized it, we'd never have a dead service ever, ever. You wouldn't have a praise and worship practice scattered. You would be able to go to other churches and visit and have a living water experience. You'd be able to go into work with joy. You'd be able to triumph in the middle of complete confusion. You'd begin to be the light of God in those times when somebody needs you to be. If you use the Spirit of God, you won't have a moment where you're weak. Because even when you are, He is your strength. In times when you're strong, that's when the obedience needs to flow. And when we're weak, when God moves in us, it can happen the same way. And you get those marks of blessings upon blessings when you do that in weariness. If we only know tonight, it's why you're here. It's why you believe. If we just realize what he does and the power of it, you'll be able to be confident for those around you, those that need you to live by what God gives you. They need to hear that voice of the Savior from you. They don't need to hear about how I'm sorry that you're doing and I hope that you make it, but they need to hear that we serve a God, that as we believe together, where two or three would agree, that he would be in the midst of it. We need to be confident enough in what we have to be able to witness to somebody that in the moment that you can reach to them. It's so important, because the primary ministry of the temple of God is where? It's not here. It's right here. Lives in you. What you do with it, how you live with it, and what you make of it is how much that it's full to you. Then she asks, there's nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? You see, she was in question of the natural well. And the mystery begins to unfold here. And if we just realize that our carnality will only see as far as we can see an end in carnality. If we are without, we sometimes cannot see the end. We can't see it paid in full. We can't see it in our own, because we see, well, I can only make a certain amount for a certain amount of time, and I just cannot accomplish this debt. Carnality will only see as far as carnality can recognize. And he says, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. In other words, that which you partake of to try to fulfill your life that is not living, you will return to this source again and again and again. There are people that live in drugs every day. It's one of the best examples to use, because they get a feeling. And man, you couldn't get them out of that feeling. Nobody could take that from them. They're in a temporary, elated joy. And then it wears off. Then it passes. And all the consequence of that abuse begins to take a hold on their body. Yet they're still longing for an elated joy. And they do it again. But in between the times when we're aching and weary, what are we doing? We're thirsting. When we get our kicks by being angry or get our kicks by complaining, you don't resolve the trial. You return back to where you were and continue to complain. When we are disobedient to God and expect a given outcome, sometimes I think it's crazy for me to think that I'm going to get anywhere if I don't start believing and moving and obeying Him. The only person that I hurt when I don't step out for Him is myself. And we often, when we thirst and long for something greater, we can return to complaining. But don't you know, as we see it tonight, that it's not going to fulfill the overall thirst in our life. We may feel better by giving an excuse that I didn't need to stand up and testify because nobody wanted to hear me. And that may satisfy you for a little while. But you will return and God will speak to you to move again. And that will only last you a little while. It's going to come time that we step out and do exactly what God wants us to do. Do you believe that? And He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When I think about something springing up, there has to be a power that not only in the metaphor defies gravity to go upward in something that was built to stay down. What God gives is meant to lift you up. What God gives is meant for you to have joy and not to be down and not to be depressed and not to dwell in darkness. But that light causes you to come up and to do things you never would have before. So I'm challenging you today to not live in the norm anymore. I'm challenging you today to trust Him with that which you're going through. I'm challenging you today to do whatever it takes. If you've got to claw, if you've got to crawl, if you've got to stand up and down, if you've got to do 10 squats to get there, do whatever it takes to get into the presence of God. Do whatever it takes to get away from the obstacles that's hindering you. Believe that God will cause a way to be made when trouble's about you, and He'll bless you in there. He'll get right where you are and give you a blessing you will not be able to contain. So the mystery begins to unfold. She said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. When you get the fullness of God in such a way that you know that everything else is going to be all right, you're not going to continually return in doubt anymore. When you begin to trust Him fully with everything you're dealing with, you're going to be a stronger person. You're not going to doubt yourself anymore. You're going to know that when you step out for God as He moves through you, that you're going to accomplish something great. And as God moves in your prayers, your faith is going to begin to build and you're going to start believing what you're actually praying. The rivers of life will begin to spring up in you and saying that somebody's going to be healed in the name of Jesus does not seem so far-fetched. My heart is so troubled for some of our loved ones and our friends that's so ill right now. And as I'm praying, I feel the presence of God moving. And the only thing that holds back my prayers is my own mind saying, Lord, you see how held down they are with sickness. But the rivers of life begin to come up and I say, in spite of what I see, God, I'm getting past my carnality and I'm believing you that healing is coming. I'm believing, God, that peace is coming for those that are depressed. They'll tell me that they're depressed and that there's no way out, and you may not ever say a word to anybody about what you deal with. But if you trust God with what you have, oh, the rivers of living water will come up in your life and nobody would be able to even duplicate the joy that you feel. The true joy of the Lord is unexplainable. You could try to get up here and explain it, but there's just something about when you have that experience. The unexplainable joy that you get from that is what will cause you to come back to church. It'll cause you to praise Him. You'll be the first one out of the gate ready to go and not afraid to show it. A big problem today is that a lot of rivers are slowing up because of so much stuff that's in there. So somebody's got to make up their mind that they're going to help dig a ditch into what they're going through and help push the obstacles out of their life. What causes us to be charitable? It's the love of God. That is the byproduct of the Spirit. Love creates all the other virtues you read about. Love makes patience. You will not have patience without love. If you cannot love something, then you will not have patience for something. Because some of us may have pets and you've seen them do the same old thing again, but yet you still love the pet, even though they may go over in the corner and leave you something to clean up. You still love that pet. And your love and care for that animal creates what? It's patience. And you may have children tonight. Or you may have loved ones that you sometimes oft get ill with. We'll put it like that. But love will create patience. That love that you have for them creates patience. And without a fullness of the Spirit of God, we begin to lack in love. And are not able to help those that need us. And it produces such an ill witness in our life that people will never come to the presence of God or to know the fullness of the Spirit. They'll know the knowledge of it. And they'll recite the prayer that somebody tells them to, but they'll never feel that springing up of the power of God and what it does and what it feels like to be consumed in Him when we surrender. You may think that this message is not for tonight or for this people, but it's my every belief right now that we have more than able individuals in here. And people might be running to revivals here and there to try to realize their renewed power. But Jesus was saying to this woman, if you recognize what is right in front of you, if you get a hold of that which you're feeling in your heart, that joy, you will not return to carnality. You will not return to being impatient or irrational. But it'll cause you to do things as Christ makes you new. You will do all the things that come from love. Paul put it like this, that you could have all the gifts and have great understanding of the Word of God, and there's many people that have that. Oh, I wish I could go to their church and listen to them preach. It's just such a knowledge of the Word of God. But if we don't have love, having knowledge of the Word of God won't carry you anywhere. And without love being the byproduct of the Spirit of God, natural love's not going to help people. Why? Because when we get burned, all of a sudden we're not able to love. But what else is a byproduct of what Christ did? Forgiveness. That which we have and will show for others, therein creates that love again, where we're able to be patient. And God is good to us in spite of all that we go through. And He's merciful. And He cares. And He wants to help those that aren't here with you tonight. He wants to bless them greatly. Just take a moment in your own life every day. Daniel did it 3 times a day. Some of us need it 10 times a day to keep our minds well. And the Lord's showing me that there is more. It's not about the work tonight. It's about what is holding you from being free and fluid in the Spirit? So you take that moment in your life every day and allow God to move out your obstacles. And you will begin to come to realize a joy that you won't run away from. And you won't run back to what used to keep you. And in fact, there'll be a day that comes where you'll feel as a stranger to the trial you once went through. And the trial that you were walking through therein becomes a testimony of what you've overcome. When the Spirit of God causes you to come through something, it is meant to be given to somebody that needs to hear it. They need it. And tonight I leave you with this final thought. As it lives in you, use it. As it lives in you, use it. As you go out of here, use it. Let God bless you.